was in this back room, and he picked up this lamp, and he was brushing it off, and out popped this genie. And the genie said, hey, guy, you got one wish. Anything you wish, you're going to get it. So the guy was thinking, and he said, you know, I always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm afraid of flying, and I'm afraid of the water, and so I don't like the boats. So I'd like if you could build me a bridge. And the genie is like, what? Build a bridge? Think of all the miles of concrete that'd be. Man, you're nuts. You're crazy. Don't you have another wish? And the guy was thinking a little bit. Said, okay, well, I got another wish. I'd like to understand the mind of a woman. And the genie says, you want that two-lane or four-lane, that bridge? And this, we're not going to be learning too much about the mind of women here, but I hope we can explain the masculine life as and the journey we're going to be taking is 24 weeks. And the masculine life, there's something that I think about when I think about manhood and men. And I think it's scripted in boyhood even. I remember what it was like to be a boy. You're always trying to set up the takeover. Let me say it like this. I think in boys, you see it that there's something inside of them that stands up. If a boy is given life, something inside of him that stands up and takes on life. And I remember, it was probably 3-4 years ago, when Lancaster County got the backside of a hurricane. You guys remember that? We had a big tree blow over in our yard, and it came down overnight and crashed through Joe Miller's fence, smashed into his yard. And the next morning, my boys got up, and they were looking out the window. And I remember what happened. As they looked out the window, they were eating breakfast, and they went and looked. Here this tree was. Next thing I knew, they're outside in the garage, grabbing their hatchets and their saws. And this was a massive tree. The trunk was huge. And they went out there, and I can still picture them standing on this tree with their little hatchets and their little saws. And there was something that stood up inside of them to take on, to bring order out of the chaos. And there's going to be some, if you guys intend to make it on this journey, you're going to need some gear along the way here. And one of them is going to be toughness. You're going to need some toughness to stick it out here with guys, with your small group coming. So maybe it was okay this morning, but in a couple weeks, a couple months, it's going to be winter. It's going to be cold. And it was dark this morning, but it's going to be darker. You're going to need some toughness in order to make it through. So another thing you're going to need on this trip is willingness. And next week we're going to have you guys in small groups. And you're going to need some willingness to be real with each other in your small group. You're gonna need some willingness to open up your life to other men. And that's, I don't know if I'm normal, I think I'm normal. It's not always the easiest thing. And you're also gonna need some willingness to process the weekly topics that we head through. And if you had a chance to look through your book, we're gonna follow one of those each week. And you're gonna need some willingness to look at the topics, and also looking at the questions at the back stir you. They stir me. And you're going to need some courage to examine your life as a man and ask yourself some hard questions and see what's inside. Some of you guys would have seen this from when we did it on Sunday a couple weeks back, but the quest for authentic manhood was put together by a man by the name of Robert Lewis, and actually this quest is year one of a three-year manhood curriculum, and known as, it's otherwise known as Men's Fraternity, and we like to encourage men better, so we change it to that, but it's known as Men's Fraternity, and the quest for authentic manhood is year one. Robert Lewis, he's a pastor, an author. He's written a lot of things on manhood and helping boys grow up. Some of the main focuses. Actually, if you guys miss something as we go along, I shouldn't tell you till April about this, but the answers are in the back of the book. You look in the back. If you miss a question, you can fill in the answer there. The main focus here is what makes up a man? A man's core identity. And as we go along, I hope some of that's going to be clear. Some of the things we're going to be looking at, we're going to be looking at what are some of the things that affect men today? We're going to be looking at fathers and sons, fathers and daughters, husbands and wives. We're going to be looking at a man's wounds. And that's going to be in the next month or so here. And we're also going to leave you guys with a definition of manhood that will call you to something. And that's what excites me about what we're doing. Major challenge. Is that the boy in you must die. And a lot of us, some, we know guys who are men who live out of being a boy. And there's something that isn't very compelling about manhood lived in a boyish way. And we're going to call you guys to live up to put the boy to death inside of you. You need to move, in order to move from boyhood to manhood, you need to put some things behind. And the main passion is seizing your manhood, taking a hold of it, embracing the truth of who God is and how He's designed us as men. Here's a list of some strange facts, and some of you guys would have heard this before. A duck quack doesn't echo, and no one knows why. You hear a duck, there is no echo. 35% of the people who use personal ads for dating services claim that they're argumentative. Maybe that's why they're using dating service. Only one person in 2 billion will live to be 116 years or older. Not too many of those around. It's possible to lead a cow upstairs, but not downstairs. I don't know why. A snail can sleep for 3 years. And there's no word in the English language that rhymes with month. The average lifespan of a Major League Baseball is 7 pitches. Seems like a waste, huh? All polar bears are left-handed. And I don't know how they figured that out. Americans, on average, eat about 18 acres of pizza every day. And this lot here is about 3 acres, so it's about 6 times this lot. Think about that, it's filled up with pizza. And it's physically impossible to lick your elbow. And before the day's over, anyone who hears it's physically impossible is going to try it. And there's another strange fact, and it's this. You ask, out of the 5 to 6 billion people in the world, you ask any of those people, what a man is. And there'll be few of them who will be able to answer you in a way that actually excites you or calls you to something. I mean, look at how the media portrays manhood. Dunces, even these clips, you know, we laugh at them because it's so us sometimes. And so we're on this journey, and we're going to give you guys a definition that will call you up to something. And as we start out here, we're starting with some, this is on page 9 in your book. We're starting with some presuppositions. And basically what's a presupposition? It's basically some assumptions or conclusions that we're starting out with on this journey. First one, manhood is in a state of confusion. And there's a couple of reasons, I think. Number of reasons. I work at Life Ministries. I talk with lots of men in a week's time. And I see a lot of guys who are disappointed with their lives. And actually, I can relate sometimes. As a man, you grow up thinking that you get the job, you get the family, you get the wife. I guess you have to get the wife first before you get the family. But you follow these steps, and we were taught that if you follow these steps, this is what you'll get. And sometimes, many times, life happens to us, and we don't arrive there. And so we're disappointed, and it creates a lot of confusion. I think another reason men are confused today is because of some of the wounds that we carry as men, some of the pain. And, us guys, Sunday morning, how's it going? Fine. Yeah, what's that mean? Fine. We're all fine. And yet, I think you'll find as we go along in these small groups, that we're not telling the truth. We're not all fine every Sunday morning when we come to church. At least I'm not. But some of the wounds or the pain that we carry it in silence. And that brings a lot of confusion because we don't have anyone to bounce our lives off of. I think another reason there's confusion is our loneliness as men. And I helped to lead a group. Glenn Hoover and I at Life Ministries, we lead a group for men dealing with sexual addictions, sexual issues. And one of the things that has amazed me, we've done it maybe 4 years now, one of the things that has amazed me is that there's no guy in there who joins that has great connections with other men. So part of the process of the group is connecting them with guys and relating on a deeper level. And we can check out of living in our loneliness and find other, we're connected in more ways than we have ever been wired. Cell phones, computers, and yet it hasn't affected or impacted our loneliness that much. Confused men create major problems, and I have a list of statistics here. I think they were out of the 90s, but if I would put a, read the news, or if I would flash some news releases, you would see a lot of crime, a lot of the mess ups in our world are actually as a result of choices that men make. And let me just run through these. 90% of all major crimes in the U.S. are from men. And our prisons are full of them. 100% of all rapes are from men. 95% of all burglaries are from men. 91% of all the offenses against families or children come from men. 94% of all drunken drivers are from men. And it's a picture of men without a vision or place to aim their strength. And so they aim it in the wrong ways. And you and I may not be doing some of this, but I think there's ways that we do this. We aim our strength in the wrong ways. Like, it's easy for me as a dad. I'm a dad. We have, my wife and I have four children. And get irritable, snap them off. And confused men create a lot of trouble. Confused men settle for less. I'm going to read something a psychologist said back in the 50s. The clearest picture of an empty life is the suburban man who gets up at the same hour every weekday morning, takes the same train to work in the city, performs the same tasks at the office, lunches at the same places, leaves the same tip for the waitress, comes home on the same train each night, spends a two-week vacation at the shore every summer, which he doesn't enjoy, goes to church but doesn't really know why he goes, moves through a routine, mechanical existence year after year until he finally retires at age 65, and very soon thereafter dies of heart failure, possibly brought on by repressed anger, though I always have the suspicion that he died from boredom. And you know, we may not be doing the factory thing, the train trolley thing, but there's ways that we as men settle into empty ruts that really take us nowhere. And confused men settle for less. Another thing, I don't think there's much of a lofty vision for men today that's compelling. It calls them to something, that excites them, that wakes them up in the morning, gets them out there to do life. You know, I think boys look at their dads to see what a picture of manhood is. And sometimes that picture is pretty fuzzy. Sometimes it isn't that clear. And one of the things that I think of as a dad, and I have three sons, is how do I, and a daughter, I think of this also for my daughter, but how do I prepare them for life that excites them about living and takes and gives them a vision beyond themselves, beyond just entertainment? That's important to me as a dad. Here's some questions one young guy had. What is a man? Is he someone who's strong, tall, or is he taught and talented as he plays ball? Is he someone who's hardened enough, who smokes and drinks, swears enough? Is he someone who chases women hard with a quest to conquer or without dropping his guard? Is he someone with a good business mind who gets ahead of others with his nose to the grind? Is he someone who tries his best while not really caring for any of the rest? What is a man? Does anyone know? Tell me, who's the prototype? To whom shall I go? Some questions a guy had about manhood. Another presupposition that's foundational to what we're doing is the Bible has helpful insights to all of the above. And this manhood journey is in the church service. I hope you figure that out. We're not coming to do church here. We're on a mission, and the Bible has time-tested wisdom for and answers to these questions. And the Bible has a lot to say about manhood, and we're going to be drawing from it as we go through here. a verse from 1 Corinthians. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, as a boy. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. And we're going to be inviting you guys as men to grow up. And when I say that, I'm not standing here because I feel like I have grown up. There's some places in my life that I need to grow up yet. So we're going to be taking this together. And I'm excited about you guys coming along. There's some reasons for the trouble in manhood, masculinity. There's a couple reasons. And there's a few that I want to just focus on. And the first one there. One of the major shifts that's happened in, the last 100, 150 years is that guys have been moving from being, there's been a shift from families working on farms, being close to the earth, to doing the Industrial Revolution was a shift from farming to factory types of jobs where you could collectively get together to create things. And one of the things that has happened out of that has been boys growing up are now being raised by women. A lot of the teachers in school are women. And there's something that's true about manhood and that I think about as a man is that manhood rubs off. And if boys don't have a chance to rub against real men, it's going to be hard for them to have a clear vision and a picture of what a man is. And that's part of what has created the crisis in manhood. I think another factor in your book there is, it says World War II, but I'd like to include in there some of the wars, Vietnam, Korean War, where our fathers maybe didn't go out and fight, but they would have done 1W service, filed as a CO, and they were drafted. And right, I remember being at SMBI, and I was talking to, this was back when I was 18, and I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do with my life? And I was talking to Milo Zare, and he was telling me about what happened for him when he was 18, 19. Right at that critical phase in his life, he traded his youth for service. And there was men who traded their youth for war. And so there was a critical number of years. I don't know how long he was in doing his 1W service, but when he came out of that, he had missed some good years in his life where a man usually kind of charts his course and aims somewhere, and now it was gone. And it created a lot of confusion for him. And he was encouraging me to use this time to learn a trade, to take on something that I can do with my hands, because that was something that he missed. And I think that's what has happened with many of our dads, grandpas. And that's created a lot of confusion. Men came back from some of those places hardened. They've seen a lot of things. Another factor that has impacted manhood, and I think this one alone is really huge. In the book, it says feminism. And feminism has said that, and it would have arisen in the 60s and 70s, but feminism has said that men and women are equal. And that's true. Men and women are equal in value and worth. But they went on to say that men and women are the same. And I remember being in Bible college in Manitoba, and taking training to do counseling. And there wasn't one course on masculinity or maleness, on how to understand that when you counsel someone. There wasn't one course on femininity, on what you can face as you counsel a woman. There was some gender courses, but they tried to blend things. And it's brought so much confusion to manhood. And I think, actually, feminism, I really believe it came out of probably some good reasons, dealing with men who were abusing women, and it came in a response to that, but it's taken it one step too far. Men and women are not the same. And one of the things we're going to be talking about as we go along is how we're different from women. We're going to make some promises here in these 24 weeks. And if you stick it out with us, we're making some promises to you, and we're going to do our best to deliver. You're going to have a clear definition of manhood, one that calls you up, one that's clear and exciting. You're going to develop a new manhood language. And what that means is you're going to find out some new ways to talk about. We're going to find out some new ways to talk about ourselves as men. Like what I just mentioned, the boy in you must die. What does that mean? We're going to unpack that. We're going to talk about unpacking in a week or two. And what is unpacking? We're going to be talking about a servant leader and what that means. We're going to be talking about wounds and actually taking, kind of dividing that up. The different kinds of wounds that men carry. It's not just a blanket wound. There's specific ways that we're wounded as men. And we're going to be talking about that. And so you're going to develop a new manhood language. You're going to make, another promise we're making to you guys, you're going to make significant personal discoveries about yourself. And if you can have picture a manhole cover, and you're driving down the street, there's these big plates sitting that rattle your car apart. Think about a manhole cover, and I believe Encourage Men is going to give you some tools to take that cover off and to look down inside and to discover what's in there, inside your life. So you're going to discover some things about yourself. Some of it's going to be good, some of it's not. But just like anything else, no pain, no gain, right? You're going to make some new friends who are pursuing a common goal. Some of you guys know each other, might not be new friends. But I hope you'll be able to get to know each other in ways maybe that you haven't before. Next week we're going to be putting the small groups together. We're going to give you guys a chance. I think the humor, the teaching here is good, but the small group is where you're going to get a chance to flesh out what you hear here. And you're also, if you stick with us for the next 24 weeks, you're going to have a chance to put together your own personalized manhood plan. And we're going to be talking about that as we go along. A couple things that happened for me last year. I've written lots of stuff. I've journaled things, even in training for counseling. I had to process a lot of my own personal stuff. And Last year when I was writing this plan, I was like, well, you know, what all more is there is to think about or write about? One of the things that jumped out at me is one of the questions was, you know, what do you want to do with your sons and daughters before they leave home? And my kids are 15, 13, 11, and 7. So one of the questions on this manhood plan is, what do you want to do with them before they leave home? So I was thinking about some things. I wrote some things down. The next question was, so when are you going to do it? Put a date down. When do you plan to follow this through? And that's what this manhood plan, personalized for you specifically. I really encourage you guys to invest in that as we go through here. So you guys ready for the ride? You guys awake? In for it? I think there's what? How many guys are here loyal? Thirty guys? That's awesome. And drag some more guys along next time. That's all. I'm going to turn it back to Herb. And next week we're going to be talking about the four faces of a man and what that is. Thanks for coming.